Thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask for your blessing as soon as we turn our hearts to the time of God's word. May you speak to us. May our hearts be warm, transform, and change. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glad to be back here, bring God's word to you. And Pastor Harley did not give me a topic. And so, as a preacher, I had the agony of praying and wrestling, even in the middle of last night. What should I be preaching on? Because I have a few sermons that I thought I should speak on. But I just finally decided to share something that's actually quite fresh, pretty half done, actually. It's a sermon I'm still developing, and I thought that but it's timely. I'll share it with you, and I pray you catch something about what I sense. It's what God is calling us, not just in this service, but the cathedral to be a part of. So this less a teaching sermon, more a vision sermon, where I get the chance to share my heart, and I pray that you will, as a service, also journey with us in this new season. Now, I've been worshipping in and serving in Anglican congregations of all shapes and sizes, right? This journey, this last 30 years, 30 years journey. And in this journey, I've discovered some things that are so important to the life of every church, small or big. And this is some of the things I want to share with you today. And in fact, as a layman, my first layman, as in non-clergy, right? Yeah. So my first congregation of worship was barely 100, maybe 60, 70. In fact, the congregation was so small and they're so desperate for help. But first time I visited them, they found that I could play the guitar. And said, next week, can you play on stage? You know, so there you go. But that congregation grew along with the rest of the parish. There was the St. John's Margaret's Church, which later had the privilege to serve as a parish worker. And for a good number of years, and that parish, of course, grew. Now, so that you know, my first ministry was actually with varsity students. In fact, even before I stepped into this parish, I came down to Singapore to study. By the way, some of you may not know, but I am not a Singaporean. At least I didn't grow up here. About maybe 3-4 years ago, I became a Singaporean. So I was a PR, parasite resident for many years. Right? So but I came down here simply because there's no room in Malaysian U. So I came to Singapore U. But God did something amazing. Maybe I leave the details of the story another time. There's some kind of revival that was going on. In fact, from that work and ministry, many missionaries, pastors, some Anglican ones, some pastoring very huge Anglican churches here in Singapore, actually came from that very powerful work that God did amongst students. So when I started attending this very smallish Anglican church, that's how I started serving as a parish worker working with students. Again, those were very exciting years of growth and renewal. Then I was ordained as a deacon. That's what you call them, a deacon later. They're priesthood, they become a full priest. It was a sign that was posted to St. Ruth's Cathedral. And there was a sign to pastor a very small congregation at Jurong West. And that's amazingly a bilingual plant of the cathedral. I say amazing because it's bilingual. Now, it's a strange assignment because my Mandarin was severely limited and still is, you know. Severely limited, such as to the first 10 numerals. Sometimes they don't even get it right. At the hawker center, they say something in Mandarin, and I say, you know, 50 cents, right? It's that bad. You know? And to cursory greetings that follow the AM, PM segments of the day. There was one time I was running, leading a wedding in the afternoon, and it was a bilingual congregation, and so there was an interpreter, right? And so I thought, hey, let me try some Mandarin. So start by saying, "Chào an," and the interpreter dutifully interpreted, "Good morning," but it was afternoon. So my Mandarin is there. But I always joke, my Mandarin is so bad that even Bishop Rennie says Mandarin is better than me. All right. Now I could go a lot further, of course, in Cantonese. By the way, I'm still a Chinese. I do speak Cantonese fairly well. But of course, I often use it, not so much in preaching, but Cantonese, by the way, has a great sense of humor, right? Because there's 7 tones, 3 more than Mandarin. Now, so it's a very interesting experience. Now, fortunately, of course, that congregation did not have to suffer my feeble attempts for too long. And just as I thought my Mandarin lessons were bearing fruit, believe it or not, I started to take Mandarin lessons. Not so that I can preach in Mandarin, because I was talking to them. I say, hey, heart language, heart-to-heart communication. I must at least be able to speak to Mandarin. By that time, I was able to count up to 20. Then I was posted back to St. John Mother's Church, SGSM, to serve for another 7 years as a curate. And then it was another 14 years in St. James Church, where we again experienced amazing presence of God. We started with 400. It was a very discouraged, a very dry church, and a very low sense of self-esteem. And certainly, a church not able to sense the presence of God. I still remember the first prayer meeting we had. Nobody knew how to pray. Not that they can't pray, but it's been a long time since we prayed together. It's quite amazing. A lot of struggle, to cut a long story short, the Lord work and the church. By the time I left, it has really hit 1,000. Until today, it's past 1,000 mark, and it's still growing, and I heard still doing so well, you know. But undoubtedly, it is a work of God. And then here I am in the cathedral. So congregations of all types, shapes, and sizes. Whether it's 30 people or 120 people there about here in this room, or 1,000 or 5,000, I realize at the heart of it is still the same. If God's presence is there, if people's hearts are turned to God instead of to one another, if you come to church not because to try to draw something with somebody else, but because they are looking for the embrace of the Father, when God is honored, when the Lordship of Christ is recognized, that church will be a strong one. As I said, regardless of whether it's small or large in congregation. But if the church becomes self-sufficient, if the church has lost the sense of the presence of God, and the leadership has stopped praying, and instead the church is dominated by the personality of leaders, right? It become a human thing rather than a God thing. That church will go into a sense of lostness and frustration. And these thoughts dominate my mind too as I come to the cathedral. In fact, this week we'll be having a senior staff retreat. These are some of the things we are exploring. We really, you know, sometimes in my heart, so God, I want more than anything else to be an instrument of bringing the church back to you, helping the church to experience renewal, revival, to be authentic, to sense God's presence. And that's my prayer for the cathedral. In fact, next year, our team for next year is pursuing the heart of God, right? It's not about growing in numbers or growing our money or growing our mission station. It is about pursuing the heart of God, helping each cathedral member to walk closely with God. Now, with that, of course, there are many passages I can turn your attention to, many actually. So much from the Old Testament, New Testament, we can preach on. Maybe next year, we run a preaching series to take us back to the heart, what the church is called to be to do. But today, we look at Isaiah, right? 40 verses 28 to 31, and be the topic, waiting. The next slide. Right, so let's read. We have not read God's word yet, so let's read this together. Isaiah 40 verses 28 to 31. Ready? One, two, go. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I shall move it to two slides, so you can see the words. They shall mount up with wings like eagle and shall walk and not faint. So a vision about God's people who can rise above the challenges in the world, right? Both on earth and in the sky. And of course, the ancient, when he writes, that's all he sees, his world, is what is on earth, what's in the sky. And on earth, he sees the children of God running untirelessly, running. Like the modern Marvel hero, Flash Gordon or something, right? Just running, never stop, untired, like a Forrest Gump, maybe, you know. In the sky, he saw an eagle soaring effortlessly. And I think it's a very graphic and very powerful picture. Wow, can a church be like this? Can a Christian be like this? And this is a question I sometimes ask, because I've been walking with the Lord and involved in ministry, as I said, in the church for so long. Do I sometimes get tired? Does the church get tired? People come in, as we get older, do we get depleted or do we grow from strength to strength? So this picture of soaring like an eagle. I still remember in my student days, I was preaching a message about eagles, right? And after the message, one of the students came to me, and this student is always full of jokes. I miss him because he always gives me a lot of jokes for my sermons. But he's very funny. But he said, you know, Pastor Terry, when the eagle flies, do you know, in a thunderstorm, the eagle will fly this way. It go up and it go down. It go up and it goes down in a thunderstorm. So I asked why. And he said, because the eagle is flying. Broom! Broom! The next thing he said, you know, when the eagle, but it's bright and shiny day, when the eagle is flying towards the sun, the eagle is flying in a circle. Do you know why? Why? Right. Now, this has no bearing on the sermon, but I thought it's just funny. As I was preparing, I just look at eagles, reminded me of the do jokes. Right. But this word waiting, of course, the key word in this set of verses is this word waiting. How can a young man run and not faint? How can we soar like an eagle? It comes to those who wait on the Lord. And so this word waiting is a very rich, very interesting word. All right, we take a pause, look at it. The word in Hebrew, I don't know Hebrew, but this is a translation. I'm sure that one or two of you actually would know it more than me. The word kava, often translated as wait. And the word kava, by the way, has a literal meaning. As you know, every word has a literal meaning or figurative meaning. It has a literal meaning or has a meaning that has been now used in a common way. Take for example, just now we were talking about the dead come to life, right? As you worship. That's figurative. Because I look back, everyone here is alive, right? There's no dead in our midst. Anyone's dead? No. Right. So it's figurative. But of course, dead also has a literal meaning, as in someone is no longer alive. And so there's a literal meaning. And the literal meaning means, it's very interesting, to bind together like a cord. Not so much the strings binding together something, but the string itself bound together like a cord. And this picture, of course, illustrates it very well. This kind of this rope is very strong. As you know, you go to the harbor, you go to some of the places, you can see this rope is hanging things. Now, it's strong because there's this intertwining, right? At the level of fibers and the yarns and then the strands. Now, you know that. You just a bit of physics, you've done a bit of physics when you're younger, or those boys brigade, girls brigade, you know how to tie ropes, how to make it strong. And so, this picture, so you pause here, you wonder what waiting has to do with it, but the waiting comes from this idea of kava, a sense of rope twisting, weaving together, that becomes so strong. You put two ropes together, the strength becomes, the increase in strength is exponential. It's not just twice, it's a few times more. Put three, even more. All right? Now, we know this to be true, and that's the reason why when they discovered it, of course, thousands of years ago, it changes the way ropes are made. Now, where else in the Bible is this mentioned?
Marriage.
That's right. Which part of the Bible? Old Testament, yes. Not New Testament. Right, where in the Old Testament? Sorry, Sister George, your memory. Anyone knows? The book of Ecclesiastes, right? The book of Ecclesiastes, where it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Right? Attended weddings, you hear sermons on this. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Reminded me of one wedding where this was being preached. Called the three strands not quickly broken, and the son was standing next to his mother-in-law, and he whispered to his mother-in-law and said, you see, you need three, not two. a second wife may be a good idea. Then the mother-in-law said, "You foolish son, the third strand is a reference to your mother-in-law." Now, of course, we know the third strand. It makes for a great wedding sermon because we always say the third strand is gone, right? When a couple draw near to God, they're so draw near to each other. Let me tell you, after years of marriage and years of often marriage counselor, this is as true as ever for Christian marriage. If they put God at the center, the marriage will hold, the marriage will be strong. And so the idea here, when you think about it, the root word, literal meaning of binding like a cord, the idea is that you cannot go at it alone, you see. In other words, you can say that this verse can be translated strength. Those whose strength is in the Lord, yeah? They'll soar like eagles, they'll run and not be buried. Associated with the idea of strength that comes to a person because he's not alone. He's intertwined his life with that of another. The next slide. Now, of course, there is what I call more common use of the word kava, and that is to wait for, to hope, to expect. All right, right. So the parents, JC and Jasmine, yeah, were waiting for today, for the children to be baptized. I'm sure last night they were waiting anxiously and hoping that Royce have a good sleep so they won't cry in the hands of the pastor. So that kind of waiting. So you may be waiting for this sermon to be over because you're hungry, you want to have lunch, right? So that's very common use. And so it's an interesting thought. To be active, you need to be passive, right? That's, again, another thought that you can glean from this text. To be active, you need to be passive. And they are not contradictory to each other. This sense that a person who learns to wait upon God, now translator use the word wait for various reasons. I think wait is a beautiful way of translating it because it brings the responsibility to the person, to us, that we need to learn to wait on God. We need to learn to pay attention to Him. We need to learn to rely on Him. We need to learn to put our trust in Him. For alone we can't. But with God, we can. That sounds like a cliche. But with God, we can. It reminded me of the words of St. Paul in Philippians. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. I need to understand what the words mean, of course, in the context of our lives. Another part of the Bible is Psalm 84. Oh, I'm not controlling my PowerPoint. Right, is someone doing that for me? Thank you. We have a wireless control. No? I just flick my eye and just. Anyway, from Psalm 84, it said, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs." The valley of Baca, again, translators, commentators are not quite sure in Hebrew what it's a reference to, but likely to a spring that has bitter water. So it symbolizes bitterness, challenges in life, difficulties in life. They'll make it a place of springs. The early rain is so covered with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. This is a beautiful set of words from Song number 84, which will, of course, speak to us. But blessed are those whose strength is in you. So blessed is a man who learned to wait on God as a servant would for his master, to be attentive to him, to look to him, to follow him, to be submitted to him, to listen to him, to remember him. It's often said when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," to acknowledge him. It is to say, Jesus, as we sing in the modern song, "Be the center of my life." And waiting is about both time and posture. You know, you may be passively waiting, but actively trusting. This trust that keeps you from doing things in your own strength. This trust that keeps you from forming quick conclusions, jumping to things too quickly. It keeps you from being anxious. It helps you to hear and listen. It helps you to watch what the Father is doing and surf the wave He creates rather than create the waves ourselves. I think it was Rick Warren, a purpose-driven church, was talking about that. And part of ministry is to see what God is doing, the waves He's creating, and surf on it rather than trying to create our own waves. It's a submission thing. It is a humility thing. It's a trusting, a heart that's broken before God, trusting in Him. So the egos don't run the church, but we let Christ, the shepherd of this church, rule and reign through her life. Of course, being involved in ministry for so long, I have so many illustrations to share with you. But there's one I love to tell, and that's the story of how the Alpha Course started in Singapore in 1998. It started way before that, but in a very smallish ways, on the side, no one kind of paid attention to it. In 1998, it grabbed the attention of many churches, and it started in a big way while I was acting vicar of St. John's Margaret's Church. Now, what was happening months before that? Now, I've always been, I wasn't a vicar then, I was tasked to be in charge of the cell groups. And so, 80 were cell groups. And as, you know, being DNA cell group is growth. No matter what you say, a cell group needs to grow. It's because build the DNA, cell, right? Cell need to multiply. So we tried all kinds of tricks in the parlor. Oh, try this, you try that. You know, thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's almost Friday. And Easter, Christmas, you try everything. And I pleaded with the cell group, surely you can bring at least one to yourself per quarter or per year. You know, what we found out after many years, some cells not even able to bring one or even two new member to the church. So it's great discouragement. There was great discouragement among the cell groups. So, and then what happened was that I began to experiment with something along with my mother-in-law. She wasn't my mother-in-law then, but she was, well, we married. Oh, not married yet. Okay, but we were serving together in the cell ministry. And she was a great evangelist. And so we suggested, hey, let's run this thing called evangelistic Bible study. In other words, you take some non-Christians too, a few series of studying together. We have a meal after. We probably talk. We build friendship. And so we try to approach who is Jesus, why did he die on the cross, his resurrection, so forth. And it was actually successful. There are four or five of them came to the Lord. And by the end of the year, 20 of them started coming to church. So I thought, hey, this one new way of reaching out. We cannot just rely on rallies and things like that, or bus stop witnessing, you know, something that's not on doors witnessing, that's the hardest thing everybody, you know, the most terrible form of evangelism. But this is nice, you know, you come together, you eat, you talk, and it's a non-threatening environment. And so we begin to build up this program, right? I begin to write material, we begin to publish material, that our church then was about 1,000 strong, we had the resources, and so we can do training, and some of this training I had with all the cell leaders. I pile up all the books, you know, to prepare to lead EBS, you need to equip yourself, and these are the books you need to read to equip yourself. I pile up all the books. While that was happening, we heard news that the Alpha Conference is coming to Singapore for the first time, led by Nikki Gumbel and Sandy Miller. And I thought to myself, with some discussion, yeah, that's interesting, but we're already developing our own thing. But my vicar then said, we should go, at least go and look-see. The word look-see. Just, don't need to do anything, just go and find out a bit more. Perhaps we can learn some things from them while we're developing our own. So, okay, fine, so let's go to it. It was held in Cathedral. Now, the Cathedral nave isn't like that today. There's no air condition, number one. There isn't any side TVs, right? The feedback monitor. And so it's long. The cathedral is long. And so you can see Nikki, he's quite tall, but his head was bubbling up and down. You sit down. You're listening to him, his head is kind of up and down, up and down. Because depending on whether people in front are sitting up or down, right? So you can hardly see him. And you know, Nikki is not an exciting American speaker. He just stands there and he speaks, you know. And so I was, to start off with, already quite skeptical, right? So I wasn't sitting in front like that, you know. I was sitting behind, folding my arms. In those days, we had a smartphone. I've taken out my smartphone and, you know. Because I was not very interested. Because I thought, hey, the English people has taught us how to worship. You mean they're going to tell me how to evangelize, right? So there's certain skepticism. After 2 days of conference, of which I didn't hear very much, Nikki gave a challenge. He said, those who want to run Alpha, I want to pray for you. Please stand. Of course, I was not standing. Yeah, never simply say yes to something you don't really believe in. I sat down. Then my vicar stood up. You see, I'm a curate, you see. A curate is number two. You're number one, stand up. You better stand up. You know, the leaders, how can you? So he stand up, so I grudgingly stand up, you know, kind of slouch a bit, you know. And then he prayed over us. Then we went back to St. John's Margaret's Church and we had a debriefing. So 20 old leaders, as you remember, all sit there on a long table. I'm the chairman, because I'm chairing evangelism in the cell group. So then the vicar asked. By the way, the vicar happened to be Bishop Rennies. Wasn't a bishop then, huh? I was a vicar. What do you think? Do you think we should run Alpha Course? One by one said, yes, 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 yes. Yes! Some very loud, yes. Some softer, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Then finally, it was anti-clockwise. They finally come to me. And guess what I said? No. Because I said, we are really developing our own material. And here in Singapore, you're hungry. What do you eat? You want to eat char kway teow? You don't want something franchise like McDonald's. McDonald's, you bring your children too, you know? Right? Whopper, not Whopper, double cheese mac. You know, something you eat as children. But char kway teow, hey me, something local, right? So I said, hey, you know, we can be dependent on ourselves. We have the money, we have resources. Let's not join this franchising game. But guess what? On that occasion, I was totally outnumbered. Not that, thank God I wasn't a vicar. If I'm a vicar, I can bang table. You know, I'm the casting wood. No, you know. Thankfully, I wasn't a vicar. I was just a curate. My vicar said, we should go ahead. So I compromised. I said, if we go ahead, fine. But our cell groups are very tired of new things. Very tired of this and that. You know? So let's do it quietly. Right? If you want to do it, let's do it quietly. So we did it as quietly as possible. We expected 300 people to come. But during that first Alpha celebration dinner, suddenly 200 more turned up. From 300 shot up to 500. And we had to ask the Christians, don't eat. Just remember, don't eat. Just eat white rice. Don't touch the chicken drumstick, you know. And it was an amazing event. And we have never seen that many non-Christians in our sanctuary. And guess what? This proud person, we didn't screen Nicky Gumbel. You know, char kway teow thing, right? So I will speak. Yeah. I will speak. And I spoke. And it was full of anointing. It was funny. I was very effective. But the anointing, by the way, only lasted for one night. And subsequently, I said, please switch on, put on the videos. I have no turning back. Because if it's been me, I was severely limited the effectiveness of our course. Because there's only one Terry Wong, right? How can I appear all over the place? But once I switched Nikki, I came take off. So it was a huge thing, right? And we had 300 over attended Alpha Course of that church. Other church people didn't come because they're curious. Wow, they heard this thing going on in SGS and they start to come. And so there's no turning back. And the irony of it all, with the appointed the first national director or the second one, they asked me, the reluctant person who said no. But guess what? God overrode. And I learned a very important lesson. The ministry is not about what I like or don't like. It's about what God wants. And sometimes you can see what God is saying through the body of Christ. In fact, the waves are huge all around me and I'm still trying to create a tiny little wave, right? But the waves are so obvious all around me. And brothers and sisters, no turning back. You know, the amazing thing, the Alpha Course is such a blessing. Of course, it brought the church into prisons. I've seen so many prisoners come to Christ and they come out of prison and connect back to the church, the after prisons care. The Alpha Course has been used by the Lord to reach cabinet ministers, top and significant businessmen who never stepped into a church. Ex-presidents of Singapore, I won't name them. Ex-cabinet ministers. But imagine, seated in a room that day, a room we called Shalom Chapel in SGSM, if I bang my head and said, Vicar, if you run Alpha Course, I'll quit. I won't be a curate anymore. He may well say, okay. He may well say that because we work so well together. But I'm so glad that on that occasion, God overruled the teeny, weeny human ego needs to be set aside. And I learned a very important lesson that ministry is not about us. The church is not about me and you. What we prefer, the church is about Jesus Christ. And you see what the Lord is saying very often. You hear, you can see what the Father is doing and you see what He's doing. And our part is to submit and run with it. I'm not saying suggest all that every church should run an alpha course. Don't get me wrong. Huh? Every church needs to pray and discern what they should be a part of. But undoubtedly, the blessing of being part of alpha still reverberates even today, right? Here, there we are. We're running alpha course. It's a big thing in the cathedral, right? We have a couple who's taking alpha course, but they're in confirmation at the same time, right? A fast track because they're so hungry for God, and we thank God for that, right? But what He's doing. In this service as well. This service is a blessing. This service, we are here because of the help of HDBB. Again, it's because of relationship with Holy Trinity, Brompton. We're here in this service. We are almost coming to our anniversary. We won't need to celebrate that. But it's amazing to see what God has done. 2 years ago, we were in a very desperate situation. I remember hours of conversations with Harley. Our conversation with Kenneth Ernest, as you remember, evaluating, wondering, Lord, we need a breakthrough in youth work here in the cathedral. Where to start? How are we going to start? But again, we didn't rush. There were some youth pastors from other parts of Singapore that were saying, hey, we want to come in as youth pastors to serve. It seems so easy. Why don't you import a ready-made youth pastor, right? But no. Harley. It's a gifting, you know. Harley can lead us. But if God will do something through the local leadership. And as I said, the rest is history. One morning while we were having a retreat, we were still struggling what to do with our youth work. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if the youth work is so important in the cathedral, why aren't you giving it a prime time slot? Why are you always moving the Saturday afternoon or the date end? Nobody wants to go and then the youth ministry will happen. Why don't you move it to the time slot? Sunday morning. So I quickly text Ali, got room or not? Ali said, no room. Oh, he said, don't have. We said, don't have. No room, no place, no way. Please use up. Okay, so we begin a few months to look for places all around us. Yes, no. If yes, too expensive, right? Then finally, one day, what about the prayer hall? What is happening at prayer hall at 11 o'clock? Ali said, Sunday school classes, can shift. Can. There are a lot of corners in the church. You can shift them to. Let's turn this into a place of worship. And so that's how this place was renovated. And that's how the 11:30 service was born. And each step of the way, brothers and sisters, the Lord guiding us and the Lord leading us. And the Lord has led us. The Lord has led. When Stephen first talked to me to serve in the cathedral, we were starting 11:30 service. And Stephen said, what can you do? Stephen said, I'm a dancer. But dancing is not a big thing in the cathedral. I must find more work for you to do. How about helping us at 11:30 service, right? And it was Charlotte this year. Initially, it was just Harley and Harley alone. Right? But today, we have a team of dynamic team of young adults leading this service. Brothers and sisters, it's what God is doing. So, I'm coming to land. Don't worry, you may be wondering, am I like going endlessly? Right? So, you take away God out of the thing, or the equation, we have missed the mark. In any church, especially a large church like ours, the wheels may still turn because there are enough resources in Singapore. Right? We make things, a lot of things happen because of money and talent and so forth. But there'll be an emptiness. It'll be hollow. If not taken up by the love of God, brothers and sisters, we'll be self-absorbed. Now imagine, self-absorbed persons and human egos, which the church has to bear with. I thank God for this service. This is a service that has a fresh breath of air. You know, there's the freshness of this service. Very little politics, if I'm not detected anything. It may not be the same in some other older services. And we just need to rediscover again the Lordship of Christ. When we lose the sense of God, man looms large, you see. The human ego comes in the picture. And we keep the tradition of certain things because what we like, we have forgotten what God is like, what God like. We have forgotten to ask God, what do you want? Instead, every time I change something, someone will say, but we always done it this way. Who is we? Actually, it's just one or two person who wants to be done that way, right? It's very strange. But what does God wants, right? Why don't we ask what pleases the Father. So, brothers and sisters, I want to call you back to Him. The next slide, I just go through some verses here. Right. Here I'm referring to the call to communion. I like to think that when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, he's not just referring to the communion, but referring to each time you break bread, right? And it's something that we do daily. Of course, in ancient communities, do it once or twice a day. We do it here in Singapore 5 times, right? But so each time you say grace, you give thanks, you're remembering Jesus. You're mindful of him. You're paying attention to him. You recognize the source of all things. Christians say grace because of that. Next slide. Right. You have abandoned the love you had at first. A message to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. They're doing this and doing that, but they've abandoned the first love for Christ. It's interesting that God looks at our heart. He looks at our heart more than anything. It's not just what we do. He looks at how attentive our hearts are to him. The third one. Move on. And let's run with endurance the race that's set before us. This Hebrews chapter 12. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And so as the church, we look to Jesus. The one who has founded the church. The one who is still perfecting the church. Right? Ephesians chapter 1. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Right? Obviously, Philippians chapter 1. Sorry for that. But this sense of looking to Jesus, the one who is continuing to shape us, he's the founder. So we look to him. You don't look at Harley, right? You don't look at me, right? Least of all, we don't look at any strong personalities in the church. We look at the Lord Jesus and we ask that he may lead us. The next slide. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's one call the church to. The next year, it's a year of prayer. Declare it's a year of prayer in the diocese. But here in the cathedral, pursuing the heart of God, we seek his face, seek his presence. This is something you need to be intentional about it. Because there's so much distraction. There's so many things that are trying to connect to you. Even the seat here, right? This morning, this thing is beeping all the time. Boom, 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 shaking, vibrating. And then if you're wearing a watch like me, which has a notification, the whole body is vibrating, you know. All kinds of people connecting to you, distracting you sometimes from stillness and awareness and a sense of God's presence. The modern world, of course, has changed. That I'll leave for another sermon and how that's hollowing our own spiritual life. So we need to be attentive to God. But sometimes people will say, but Pastor, how can I love someone I cannot see? If only God will appear before me, and surely I will love him with all my heart, soul, body, and mind, as we often declare, as we will declare often in a communion service. But we say, look, the people around you that you're committed to, whom you're supposed to love, they're very human, they're sentient beings. You can touch, you feel them, you pinch them, turn red, you cut, the blood come out. So you see them every day. And yet, sometimes you don't love them. Sometimes you don't keep to our commitment. In other words, it's not about seeing. It is about orientation of the heart. If you don't pursue after God, you won't see him, you won't find him. But if we set our hearts to pursue God, we will see him. So we do it as individuals, brothers and sisters. We still need to do it in this service, that we may know God's presence. And this service continues to grow. Undoubtedly, in the years to come, it will be a very major service in life, the cathedral. Maybe marked not just by youthful energy, of a deep sense of God's presence and the people who are looking to him. So why don't we pause? We'll be having communion soon and ask the musicians to come. First, think about this. Some of you may have been tiring out, but this problem is that if you run with God, if your life is intertwined with God, no challenges in life can stand in the way of his love for you. Perhaps this morning you may want to rededicate your life to God, to put your complete trust in Jesus again. Not in your own strength, your own wealth, or in someone, another human being, but to look to God. As Prophet Isaiah said, to wait upon God, to turn your attention to him, to choose to place your hand in his hands, not to go through life alone. Perhaps some others need to, again, surrender parts of your life to stand in the way, an ego thing maybe, something you're not happy with another ministry worker, sweating the small stuff, because we have lost the vision of Jesus in our midst. As we're going to break bread together, we do so remember Jesus. He is in our midst. His Lordship and His presence, through His calling, we are here together. Maybe always hold this in our heart. Lord Jesus, be preeminent in our midst. Be Lord. We worship You. We want to honor You. We want You to be Lord of this service, of this fellowship. And Lord, we ask that You may continue to perfect us after Your likeness as we turn our eyes and look to You.